We're going to start going through the Psalms. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly, not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful that you're God and beside thee is none else. We're so thankful for the salvation, the acceptance, the forgiveness of sins, the riches of your grace, the completeness we have in thy dear Son. Lord, we pray for your Spirit, that your gospel would be preached in the power of your Spirit, that you would deliver us from hearing the words of a man, but that we might be privileged to hear from thee, the living God. Lord, we confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. We pray that we might be this blessed man you speak of. Lord, we pray for our friends that aren't here, that you'd keep them by your grace. Those that are sick, we pray for your blessing upon them. And we pray wherever your gospel's preached, you'd bless it and honor it for Christ's sake. In his blessed name we pray. Amen. The blessed man. Now the Psalms, I believe, are what expresses to us what's going on our inside, more so than anything else. As a matter of fact, when I read the Psalms, they express what's going on in here better than I can express it by words. What a blessing the Psalms are. Many of the Psalms are written by David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart. And this psalm has been called the Old Testament Beatitude. Blessed is the man. Now, there are a lot of explanations of blessedness in the Old Testament, but here we have the blessed man. And I couldn't help but think of what the New Testament Beatitudes say about what a believer is in blessedness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And you know, a believer never gets away from that. I don't have anything but Christ, which is to have everything. Blessed are they that mourn all the time over their sin. Blessed are the meek. Now, what is this thing of meekness? This is an attitude toward God that believes that whatever he does is right, therefore it bows. An attitude toward God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You always hunger and thirst because it's something you know you can't produce yourself. Righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Having experienced God's mercy, they're merciful people. I want to be that, don't you? If I'm a believer, I am. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now that is someone who's been given a new heart. The new man in Christ Jesus. They've been born of the Spirit and given a pure heart. That's what that's a reference to. You know, that used to always bother me because I thought my heart's not very pure. Well, the new man is. Blessed are the peacemakers. They preach the gospel of peace and they're not looking for a fight. They're not looking for contention. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Christ's righteousness' sake. I want to be one of those people, don't you? Oh, the blessedness. Now, as a young believer, this first psalm always discouraged me. Because when I would read this psalm, I would just think, I don't measure up. I don't measure up to this description. I feared that I was somebody who would walk in the way of sinners, and then all of a sudden I'd stand listening, then all of a sudden I'd walk, and then all of a sudden I'd be sitting down in the seat of the scornful. I feared that. I don't want to do that. And when I would read things like His delight is in the law of the Lord, I'd think, well, I don't measure up very well there. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Well, I don't meditate on the law day and night. I might go a long time without even thinking about the Lord, not even coming into my mind. And then it says in verse 3, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, always colorful and powerful, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. And I thought, would that describe me? Psalm 1. And then one day, I heard a man preach that the Lord Jesus Christ is this blessed man. This describes him perfectly. He is this blessed man. And every psalm is of the blessed man. Now remember when you read the Psalms, and this is so important. I went through the Psalms 20 years ago, I think, I don't think I had this understanding. Every psalm, first of all, is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I remember I used to read about the Psalms, and they'd say there's 22 Messianic Psalms where it's Christ speaking. No, there's 150 Messianic Psalms. Every one of them, first off, is Christ speaking. Somebody says, well, what about when he's confessing sin? Well, what about that? Turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ear hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Now, who's speaking? Well, we know from Hebrews chapter 10, that's Jesus Christ speaking. This is actually quoted as the words of Christ himself. Now, look in verse 12. This is still Christ speaking. Yes, it's David speaking. David speaking of his own experience. There's no question about that. But look at verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me. Now, yes, David is speaking, but Christ is speaking. He doesn't say the iniquities of Todd imputed to me. He says, my iniquities. That's how truly the sins of God's people became Christ. When they were imputed to him, they became his. He owned them as his. Now, remember that with regard to every psalm. First of all, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they're David's words too. And I'm so thankful for that. But first of all, they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalm describes the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look back in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not. Now look at the progression. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor he ceases walking and stands in the way of sinners. And then the third progression is he sits in the seat of the scornful. This blessed man is someone who doesn't walk, doesn't stand, doesn't sit. Now, that used to trouble me so much because I thought of me standing, listening, me walking, me sitting in the seat of the scornful. And you know, I know what it is to preach and see people who appear to be in all three different places. Somebody walking, somebody stopping, listening, somebody sitting in the seat of the scornful. That's a scary place to be. But you know, the Lord never did that. He never did that. You see, he could say, the prince of this world has come and found nothing in me, nothing to work with. The Lord didn't even have the potential to sin. And this is so important. I've heard preachers say, well, you know, I know he didn't sin, that's the point, but he could have. I mean, where would his power be? Where would the glory be in his obedience if he didn't have the potential to sin? Well, that's silly. That's all I can say about that. I could say worse things about it. Christ Jesus, the Lord, he doesn't have the potential to sin. If he had the potential to sin, he's not immutable. He's not God. But he could not sin. He could not be tempted to sin. That's the glory of his person. He didn't walk in the counsel, the way of the ungodly, salvation by works, sin. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He never sat in the seat of the scornful. When somebody gets to the point where they're judging God and being critical and so on, no, he never did that. But here he is. His delight, verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, we just read out of Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will, O God. 10 commandments. He kept every one of them without exception perfectly. Isn't that glorious to think of? He never sinned. He honored God's holy law perfectly. I love to think about that. His delight was in the law of the Lord. He delighted in the law so much that he would rather die than see his father's law dishonored. Now, somebody says, what are you talking about? I don't know, but it's so. He would rather die than see his father's law dishonored. That's how much he delighted in the law of God. He never had a momentary lapse of perfect obedience. I love that passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, where he said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us, me and you, John, and all of my elect. Thus it becometh us. Everything the Lord did, he did as an us. Thus it becometh us to fulfill, to complete, to bring to an end all righteousness. He delighted in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There was never a lapse in his obedience. Perfect righteousness. Now look at verse 3. And he, the Lord Jesus, shall be like a tree, not a weed, not a bush, but a tree, speaking of his strength and his stability. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And this is talking about where the Lord Jesus, as a man, and once again, this is something I believe. I don't comprehend it, but I believe it. He had the Spirit without measure. That's why he never sin. Now you and I, if we're believers, we have a measure of the Spirit. But John the Baptist said, the Lord giveth to him the Spirit without measure. He's that tree planted by God, by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now this is talking about the fruit of perfect obedience, yes, but it's also talking about the fruit of the complete salvation that he accomplished for everybody he stood for as a surety. I love thinking about this. The Lord took full responsibility for my salvation before time began. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Jesus Christ said, I'll be surety for him. Yes, he did it for them, for the whole body, but each individual believer, he said, I take full responsibility for their salvation. And he fulfilled his responsibility. He brought forth the fruit of everybody he died for. Every one of them are saved. That's his fruit. His leaf shall not wither. His righteousness is permanent. His fruit, his people, they never wither. They never fade away. You see, his righteousness is always new. And I always have a brand new, perfect, powerful righteousness before the Father. That's the fruit of Christ's death that he brought forth. His fruit shall never wither, and whatsoever he doeth, what? It shall prosper. Turn with me to Isaiah 55 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein do I have sinned. Now, usually when we think of this passage of Scripture, what do we think about? We think about how his word, his gospel, is never preached in vain. It's always going to prosper. Always, without exception. Somebody says, well, I didn't get anything out of it. Still prospers. Whenever his gospel is preached, the Lord's purpose is being done. He never sends it out in vain. It always accomplishes what he purposes. But you know what I think this means more than anything else? Christ is the word of God that comes out of God's mouth. And he prospers in what he does. He accomplishes whatever God sent him to do. That's what he does. It's prosperous. I mean, everybody he represented, he saved. Now, one of the reasons, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I hate, and let me put an underline under that, I hate universal redemption, people saying that Jesus Christ died for all men and intended to save all men. One of the reasons I hate that is because it says that Jesus Christ failed in his intentions. That's bad. That's evil. He prospers in whatever he does. He is incapable of failure. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me. He's going to prosper, isn't he? Of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Here's my hope, that Christ took full and complete responsibility for my sin, and he put it away, and I'm not going to fade because of his prosperity. I'm going to be ever new, always vibrant before the Father because of his prosperity. Oh, he's not going to fail. Everything he does is going to prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly, not so. Everybody that is not in Christ is ungodly. Everybody that's in Christ is godly. Everybody that's not in Christ is ungodly. Now look what he says about those who are not in Christ. The ungodly, not so, but are like the chaff, the husks of the wheat, which the wind drives away. Why? Because there's no substance to them. No substance. A believer has substance. He's got a new nature, a nature that God is pleased with. That's his substance. It's not that he has all this great character. Now, I want to have great character, but that's not my substance. My substance is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that can't be blown away. That's the believer's substance. But an unbeliever, he's like chaff. He has no substance, nothing that God could be pleased with. The wind will blow away the chaff. Verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're not going to be accepted on judgment day. They're going to be sent to hell. There is a place called hell, and it's fueled by the justice of God, and all unbelievers will spend eternity there. I don't want to go to that place. Neither does anybody else. I want to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell, but I want to be saved from my sins. I don't want to simply be saved from hell. I want to be saved from my sins. I want to be made just like Christ. But that's not going to happen with the ungodly. Verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. What's the way of the righteous? Christ said, I am the way. The Lord knows that. He approves of that. He loves that. He delights in that. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, in closing, not only does this describe the Lord Jesus Christ, this describes every single believer. If you're a believer, this describes you. First of all, you're blessed. Blessed of God. You know, when somebody, you see this all the time when you go out and you say, how you doing? I'm blessed. And I just think, don't say, you know, you're trying to tell me how, I'd rather just say fine, doing good. And as far as that goes, don't say, well, let me tell you about all my problems. No, I don't want to know that either. This is me. I do, I can't, but well, I'm digging myself into a hole here. Now somebody's going to, the point is, every believer is blessed of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What a state of blessedness that belongs to every believer. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what is the counsel of the ungodly? Salvation by works. Well, they're trying to tempt you to sin. Well, I'm sure that's included in it, but it doesn't take much to bring that on. He's really talking about the counsel of salvation by works. And the believer rejects it because they know Christ is their salvation. Nor stands in the way of sinners. What's the way of sinners? There is a way that seemeth right to a man. The end thereof are the ways of death, the way of salvation by works. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That scornful person who sits in judgment on God and agrees with or disagrees with things with regard to God and says, this is not fair, this is not right. And there is a proud and an arrogant spirit as God's judge sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, blessed is the man that doesn't walk or stand or sit, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, you can delight in the law of the Lord if you've kept it. Nothing to fear. Now listen to me. I don't try to keep the law of God. I've kept it. When Christ kept the law, I kept the law. It's what the Bible calls justification. I'm justified before God. And I delight in that holy law of God. I love the law of God. I delight. And didn't Paul say the same thing when he said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man? Now he also said, I see another law in my members, talking about the old nature. But I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And upon his law doth he meditate day and night. When Christ meditated on the law day and night, I did too. I claim that as my own in Christ. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, the Lord talked about every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. But every believer is a tree that God has planted. That's the security. God has planted that tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, the Holy Spirit, the rivers of grace that come from him, and he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Every believer brings forth fruit. The fruit of God the Holy Spirit. Love to God. Joy. Peace that comes from Christ. Long suffering. Knowing God's on the throne. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Every believer has the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He's going to bear it. He must bear it because he's born of the Spirit. His leaf also shall not wither. You know, Isaiah said, we all do fade as the leaf, and our righteousnesses are filthy rags. But my leaf is Christ's righteousness. It doesn't wither. It's always new. It's always powerful. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know why? We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All he does. This is true with regard to every believer. All he does. Well, I feel like a failure. All he does is going to prosper. Well, what about all he does will prosper? Now, that's the promise of grace. You know, I've heard of people say, well, they're living, or I feel like I'm living a defeated Christian life. There's no such thing. You can't live a defeated Christian life. If you're a Christian, you're more than conquerors. There's no such thing as a defeated Christian life. All he does shall prosper. Well, what about their sin? Sin's a horrible thing. We ought not ever sin. Anybody got any problem with that? We ought not ever sin. Period. Ever. Even your fall will be used by God to bring you to Christ and look to him only. You see, God brings good out of evil. All he does shall prosper. The ungodly, not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They won't stand accepted. They'll hear those awful words, depart. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He approves. He loves the way of the righteous, the way of Christ. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay.